Greetings, 91 Weekers. It's your friend George back with you again as we dive into week number 74. And 74 means we are 80% of the way into this journey. Now this week, we're in several different books, including Zechariah, Ezra, Nehemiah, and Psalms. And it's in the wonderful book of Psalms that I want to focus on today. Now, I love the Psalms because they contain almost everything you need to know about God and His kingdom. Jesus Himself is found in the Psalms, and He even quoted from the Psalms on 11 different occasions that we even know of, thereby endorsing their authority as the true Word of God. And so today, rather than plucking a transformational principle per se from this week's reading, I thought I would spend our time together in Psalms 146 through 150, since they're not very long, and use these as an example to share with you how I approach studying the Psalms and why they've become so valuable to me. Let me begin by saying there is an overwhelming amount of truth contained in the Psalms. And some of it's easy to recognize, but some of it you have to dig in a little bit under the surface in order to discover what's really there. That's why every time you read Scripture, you should always begin by asking God to open your spiritual eyes and ears to see and hear what God wants to say to you through His Word on that particular day. And that's because God's truth is always spiritually discerned. In fact, John 6:63 says, "The Spirit gives life, the flesh counts for nothing." Now, the first thing I want to point out regarding the Psalms and why I value them so much is that they help me to discover who God really is. Because there's a lot of fake news out there, even within Christian circles, regarding the true nature of God and who He really is as a person. And the best way to protect yourself from believing lies is to go directly to the truth itself, and the Psalms really excel at describing the attributes of God. In other words, if you want to know who God really is, then study the Psalms. For example, when I study a particular Psalm, I not only highlight verses that jump out to me for whatever reason, but I also highlight or circle every word that describes an attribute of God. And then I usually write those words or descriptions in the margins of my Bible right next to that psalm. And if you ever try this yourself, you'll be amazed at what's contained there. For example, let's take a quick look at Psalm 146 and see what attributes of God are contained there. Now keep in mind, different translations are going to use different words that essentially mean the same thing. And so for this exercise, I'll be using the New Living Translation. Verse 5 of Psalm 146 says this, "But joyful are those who have the God of Israel as their helper." Now this is an easy one because we can see that God is described as a helper. So write that down. Verse 6, "He made heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them." Here we see God is described as creator. Write that down. Continuing in verse 6, "He keeps every promise forever." God is a promise keeper. Verse 7, "He gives justice to the oppressed and food to the hungry. The Lord frees the prisoners." He is a God of justice, and He's also a liberator. Here God is described in verse 8 as a lover. The Lord loves the godly. Verse 9, "The Lord protects the foreigners among us. He cares for the orphans and widows." So God is also a protector, and He is caring. And finally, in verse 10, "The Lord will reign forever." If He reigns forever, then He must be a king. So just in this short psalm alone, that's only 10 verses, we learn that God is a helper. He is creator. He is a promise keeper. He's a God of justice. He's a liberator. He is a God of love or a lover. He is a protector. He is caring. And He is a king. And there are probably even more hidden in those verses that I missed. Perhaps you've even recognized some. So then, during my times of private devotion, I will describe God in my prayers and worship using the attributes that I extract from the Psalms. Now, I'm obviously not going to go through the other four Psalms right now, but if you've never done anything like this before, I would encourage you to go through that exercise sometime this week as you read through the Psalms and see what the Spirit of God points out to you about Himself. Now, I do want to note that you can do this same sort of exercise no matter what book of the Bible you're reading from. It just so happens that the book of Psalms is jam-packed with descriptions and attributes of God, as we just saw. Now, moving along, something else I noticed as I read these five Psalms this week is how many times God is described as being the creator of all things. Genesis is not the only book in the Bible that describes God as the creator. He is described as creator throughout all of Scripture. And there's good reason for that, because He is creator. For example, Psalm 146, verse 6, He made heaven and earth, the sea, and everything in them. That pretty much covers it all. Psalm 147, verse 4, He counts the stars and calls them all by name. 147, verses 8 and 9, He covers the heavens with clouds, provides rain for the earth, and makes the grass grow in mountain pastures. Psalm 148, verse 5, Let every created thing give praise to the Lord, for He issued His command, and they came into being. And finally, Psalm 149, verse 2. O Israel, rejoice in your Maker. Some translations use the word creator. You could really remove Genesis from the Bible. Many have already done that. But even if you did, you could still not get away from the fact that God is the creator of all things, both in heaven and on earth. Whenever you read through Scripture, pay attention to the number of times God either describes Himself as the maker of all things, or others have rightly described Him as the creator of all things. I think you'll be surprised at how often that truth is emphasized. I actually compile all those verses on a phone app whenever I come across them in Scripture, and it's amazing how many Scripture passages not only confirm but underscore that God is the creator. It must be important, or God wouldn't have said it so much. In fact, I believe that discrediting God as the creator of all things has been Satan's greatest deception that has rendered the most damage upon mankind. Because when you replace God with Darwin, you strip people of truth, hope, and a future, as well as accountability. And when that occurs, the only alternative you're left with is to place your hope and trust in people instead of the living God, thereby setting yourself up for regret and disappointment. God warns us over and over again in His Word not to place our hope and trust in anything or anyone other than Him. In fact, I'll finish today with one of those warnings from our reading this week, Psalm 146, verses 3 and 4. And I love the way the New Living Translation words this. Here we go. Don't put your confidence in powerful people. There is no help for you there. When they breathe their last, they return to the earth, and all their plans die with them. This is Pastor George. Have a great week studying God's Word.